Are you all right? We're going to have a good time with God today. These kids disappear. Aren't we blessed, having those kids and kids workers and youth workers? We're very blessed people. No, we are. You'll have to agree with that. Yeah, we've got loads of kids in the church. We are blessed. This is a good thing. Excellent. Oh, gosh, the glory of the Lord has just come upon me. The Shekinah glory. Stop it. We're not LG. This is the final part of a little three-part series I've been doing, looking at living life and not being zombies, not being dead. If you've just come for the first time, not heard the other two, they're available on the church website, so you might wonder why on earth we've got zombies up there. It all made sense if you were the first week. Okay, if you weren't here the first week, then it won't make a lot of sense, but what I have to say shortly will do. We're looking at being alive, as opposed to having the appearance of life. We're talking about having or being. And so we've got this whole kind of zombie mindset we had in living. Some of the things I've said is we've talked about in the last two or three weeks, living too close to see our life because of our interaction with the tiny things, the small things. We refer to ourselves as sometimes the digital dead, okay, with our Facebooks and our mobiles. We talked about self-fulfillment is an expression of self-worship and steals our joy. God-fulfillment is an expression of true worship and fills us with joy. We talked last week about Lazarus being raised from the dead. Now, people came to see the life that was connected with Jesus. People came to see him when he was raised from the dead, as much as they came to see Jesus and the impact that has on us and our lives. So, we're going to be looking at this alive life. What does it mean to have an alive life? What I want to say to you before I really begin is, listen, because this matters. What I've got to say today is incredibly simple, probably relatively short, but it can be the difference between a divided church and unity. It really can be the difference between unity and division. It's where our minds constantly need to be renewed. John 10:10 says this, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have life to the full. So what does the full life look like? What are the priorities of full life? And I often see people accidentally stealing, breaking, destroying what that full life could be when they mean to encourage and stir up. So first of all, we're going to begin discussing this by considering Love Island. Anybody here guilty of watching Love Island? Oh, I thought you'd all be watching it. I thought you'd be really into it. I mean, something called Love Island. I thought you'd all be watching Love Island. The premise of Love Island is you get a bunch of egotistical young people that are self-obsessed, and you put them onto an island and to live in luxury, and then you see if they can make relationships and do naughty adult things together, okay? And then you screen it on TV. But it's all about how important I am. Has nobody watched Love Island? Oh, what a great church this is. Now I've described it, you're all going to dash home and catch up on it, aren't you? Oh, it's just a really daft program, but it's all built about people trying to present an image, trying to look a certain way, trying to be appealing in certain ways. It's brilliant. I am, listen, as a good Christian pastor engaged with the wider community, I am fully aware of the social conventions around us and what interests the society and community. That way I can tell parables to people about real life. In much the same way that Jesus wasn't a farmer, but many of his parables were about farming. Listen, I've got worse. I don't watch it. But it is about people trying to present something. Trying to present, this is what I could be, this is what I am. In reality, that is not who they are. You don't get to see all the stuff that's happening inside their minds, inside their hearts, inside the background. What's made them other? What is going off emotionally? What is going off in their desires, their dreams, their anticipation of what life could be? What you get is this one-dimensional presentation that's carefully prepared, carefully considered, and this is what I want to be perceived as. I'm hoping I'll be noticed and become famous and become a celebrity. I'll be famous for being famous. This is the other show. Does anybody know what this show is? Oh, us all laughed. Who knows? Put your hand up without saying a word if you know what this show is. One, two, you're my daughter. You're in trouble. You come and see me straight afterwards. Three, you were in church leadership. You'll never be in church leadership or on the stage again. Anybody else want to confess? You know what it is. I thought you were like those good holy people. Look at the look on your daughter's face. She can hardly breathe. She thought she was watching in a bedroom on her iPad and you didn't know. And you're downstairs watching it. This is a program called Naked Dating. This is dead serious. This is on TV. I'm not going to tell you what channel or what time or what day. I don't watch it. But Julie and I stumbled on it and went, what? Right, no word of a lie. They get a bunch of booths. And without a conversation with that person, they slowly reveal this row of people who are stood completely naked while somebody decides which one they want to go out with based purely upon the physical outward appearance. It is a total meat market. It is totally about appearance. Stop it. You are no longer in church leadership either. Let go of a hand now. Church talks about shunning people with those kind of minds. You are a bad person. It's a good job we love you in the Lord. Can you imagine? That is what classes as entertainment. People presenting that way to say, this is my appearance, love me, go out with me. I am just wrestling with what is happening. I'm not judging. I'm actually not judging the world when I look at that stuff. I'm just wrestling with what is happening. There aren't any more pictures. I don't show the reveal, so you're all right, you can relax. People came to look at Lazarus because he was alive. I think people are interested in alive. People are interested in real life, alive living. I think this stuff is death. I want to imagine what's happened to somebody's life that on TV in front of millions of people, this is what their lives have become. I want to think what it is with a society that says this is entertainment. What has happened? This is not all bad, evil people. This is people that have no idea where they're going or what they're doing. You know, church, we need to have a message for our world. We need to be salt and light. We need to be yeast into our communities. We have absolutely got to love our world with the love of Jesus Christ. Because that's where it's going. You know, I could talk to you about wars and all these kinds of things, but the truth is on an everyday, day-to-day living life, this is becoming normal. What? See, when they came to look at Lazarus, I mentioned last week, they didn't come to see what he had been, but they came to see who he was. A living, breathing person connected to Jesus. He had an alive life. So if you ask me today, all right, tell us then, what is an alive life? What does it look like? What is the essence of an alive life? I want to begin by simply saying this. A life that puts the infinite value of Christ on display for the world to see in every and any circumstance of that life. In every and every circumstance of life, that is what we want the world to see. Jesus Christ, that is what's on display. Nothing else is on display. When the screen is lifted up, what I want them to have on display is Jesus. That's what we want them to see. The passion of their life is to live out the real purpose of Christ by the way we live. Our life can be seen more in what we leave in our wake, what we leave behind us, than how we appear in the moment. You see, I can walk in and look amazing. I can sound amazing. But what have I left behind me? What is the wake like in the water? What kind of life disturbance do I leave behind me? Is it positive? Is it negative? Is it waves? Is it mess? See, I can look great. But you can't tell who I am by just the look. What I leave behind, the fruit, if you like, is what really matters. We can change our appearance. We can present in certain ways and look good. in certain circumstances. And it's possible to change anything. These are some selfies. These are genuine selfies that have been doctored and photoshopped, as you can do. The first on the left, I mean, obviously she decided to have a goofy look on her face, I'm assuming. But look at her skin, look at the transformation. Look at this guy. Same guy, suddenly, digitally has teeth. Wow. Smooth skin, looking healthier, looking happier. Wow. We can present the truth and it can hurt. We can present modified and it not be real. Life is given to us so we can use it to make Jesus famous, not ourselves. None of this morning is going to be about skills, about experience, about excellence, about ability, about qualifications, about gift. But it is going to be about the character of Christ and our carrying it. We're set free from that external judgment, the judgment that kills and destroys people. You know, we are set free from needing to look right. I don't need to be anything in front of you. I don't need to dress in a certain way in front of you. You know, I don't have to be the appearance of perfection in front of you to be loved by you, to be loved by God. We have to be the kind of people that love people, whose character is more important than their history, who they're becoming in Christ is more important than what they have been. That is what matters. The outside appearance judgment steals the release of service and expression of God's love. See, when I become obsessed by the appearance that I have, it steals and takes away from me everything that God could bring. It really does. And I know, because people's assumptions about me and expectations of me and attitudes towards me and what they think they have seen on the surface, well, I've had to suck it up, because it's taken away at times my ability to serve God because they've chosen for me. Church, we don't want to frustrate anybody. We want to be more than appearance surface people. We want to dig into the deep depths of the character of Jesus Christ. We want to know the heart of people and help to release that in Christ. So this morning, it doesn't matter what your background is, what your culture is, what your history is, what has gone on before, the mistakes you've made, the wins you've had, the successes, what car you drive or don't drive, what house you live in or don't live in. What matters is your heart for Christ. That's what matters. Because if we carry a gospel that says anything other than that, we are prejudging people. We are saying they're going to be good in the kingdom of God. They're going to be great for Jesus. Oh, look at this guy. He drives a Rolls Royce. Wow, imagine his tithes. Oh, we love you. Oh, but this guy's an addict and he's virtually living on the streets. Well, he's nice, but you know, God can't really do much with him. But he'll be welcome to sit in the church where it's warm. What if God has a purpose for his life? What if he's like Lazarus that was dead and he's alive again? And people come to look at him because he's alive in Christ. What if? So let's not judge on the outside. Let's see the character of Christ. Nothing frustrates me more. This is dead genuine. This is actually, I could hear annoyance in my voice then. I was genuinely wound up when I was about to say what I was about to say. So I will now say it in a non-judgmental voice. But nothing frustrates me more than the promotion of people on external abilities and looks, on possessions, when the character, the person, that is the reality that has the true impact on others' lives. Got to be honest, I get properly wound up when appearance and possessions buys opportunity and the quality of character is missed. Oh. Character is the ability to meet the demands of reality and perform without crashing into other people. You see, I can have a character. I can have all sorts of depth, but I can crash into other people. Where I go can have impact, but I don't need to crash into people. I want to engage with people, to connect with people, to love people, to belong to people. You know, we've got to open our lives up. Yet, it seems to me that character is so unimportant in our world today. See, possessions are so often the measure of who we are. Possessions are so often the measure of who we are. Possessions were given to us, though. Let me say this. Possessions were given to us so that by the way we use them, we can show that they are not our treasure, but Christ is our treasure. Let me say that again. Possessions are given to us so that by the way we use them, we can show that they are not our treasure, but Christ is our treasure. Abilities are given to us so that by the way we use them, we can show that they are not our treasure, but Christ is our treasure. Money is given to us so that we will use it in a way that shows money is not our treasure, but Christ is our treasure. Time is given to us so that we will use it as a way that shows that pleasure is not our treasure, but Christ is our treasure. Do you get me? I've got to tell you, every one of those phrases really ought to be kicking off and getting quite cross at me now. Because they're very controversial. Because if you live those things, they are in your face. They are life transforming. But they can only be real depending on your character in Christ. And I've got to tell you, my character is not sufficient. I am not good enough to be that person. And I've got a revelation for you. Neither are you. Anybody feel good enough for it? Don't put your hand up. But that's not a problem, and I'm going to explain why. Whatever you do around here or outside is not the focus of your value. Your life in Jesus is the focus of your value. The great passion of your live life is to show off Christ. In Philippians, Paul writes this. The Philippians are a church in Philippi. Kadum. And he writes this to them. I honestly expect and hope that I will never do anything to be ashamed of. That's a massive statement, isn't it? Whether I live or die, I always want to be as brave as I am now and bring honor to Christ. If I live, it will be for Christ. And if I die, I will gain even more. I want to one day be able to say, I honestly expect and hope that I will never do anything to be ashamed of. Raise your hand now if that's you. I mean, you might want it, but do you honestly expect it? Wow. This guy is finding somewhere in God, isn't he? Paul's only hope was that in his life and in his death, Jesus would be honored. But that we can aspire to. That in our life and in our death, Jesus would be honored first. And this is really painful for me to speak about because I know the truth as human beings, we find this so hard. We find it so hard. That Jesus Christ would look like the only real treasure that he has. That was Paul's desire. That the only treasure he would have would be Jesus. And that people would see that the thing that mattered in his life was Jesus. I've started saying Jesus more in my sermons because I found it was easy to say God and people said amen. I find it's easy to say our Savior and people say amen. I find it easy to say the Lord and people say amen. I find it easy to say Christ and people say amen. The minute you say Jesus, somehow it feels different. Is that because there's power in the name of Jesus? Yeah. I don't know, but somehow you talk about Jesus, it has a different impact. When I talk about to non-Christian friends and talk about God loves them, that's kind of all right. The minute I talk about Jesus, boom, the grenade's gone off. It's different. Paul's desire was that Jesus would look like the only real treasure that he had. The reason you have life is to make Jesus Christ look great. That's why you're alive. To make Jesus Christ look great. To make him look famous. To demonstrate who he is. That's massive. That's the privilege and honor that we have. That's humbling. There's only one central question that you should ever ask and that guides all the decisions you make in life and in death. Will this help make Jesus look great or not? So if you've got a decision to make in your life, ask the question, will this help make Jesus look great or not? It's a new question I'm asking myself on a regular basis, and it impacts a lot of things that you do. I'm finding it's incredibly helpful when I'm buying the Maltesers at the petrol station. Will this? I don't think Jesus gets over angry when I buy Maltesers. No, it won't. That's the internal dialogue that me and Neil are currently. The answer is given in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 to 8. Let me read this to you. This is Paul writing on from some things I read earlier. All the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my Lord firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's mess. I've dumped it all in the bin so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty, inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the solid kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. Is that a great translation, that? Ah, fantastic. There are so many inferior versions of righteousness and looking good we could have, but there's only one, and it's found in Jesus, that really is eternal. So for all the things that, you see, I've got to tell you, I was stood this morning worshipping, and I thought, I've missed this. I was watching the singers on stage, and I used to sing on stage, and I thought, all the things I really miss more than anything else, I really want to do, is to sing on stage. I love singing. I love singing. I love a microphone, and I love to look important with a microphone when I'm singing, and I love to think I can sing, but the truth is then I hear myself back, and it's nice. Do you know that's worse than being bad? If you're a bad singer, that's fine. You know you can't sing. You can still worship. I know that's true because I sit in front of you every week, mate. He's a worshipper. This man is a worshipper. If I was brilliant, I'd be so excited. But the point is, I'm neither hot nor cold when it comes to singing. But I can still worship the Lord because it's not and never was about how good my voice is. Oh, I want it to be better, and I wanted it to be good, but what mattered more was my heart worshipping the Lord. Because I don't care if you stand on this platform just here, guys, all my musicians, there's some beautiful instruments on this stage. I don't care if they're gold-plated. I don't care how good you are at playing it. I don't care how good you are at singing. And none of that matters one iota. If your attitude and heart before the Lord, that's what matters. That's what matters. And it's about making him famous. Making him famous, not you. And that's true of every one of us. The alive life is a life that uses everything to show that Christ is more valuable than anything else. Let me say this to you. Money is used to show that Christ is more valuable than money. Food is used to show that Christ is more valuable than food is. Houses and cars and computers are used to show that Christ is more valuable than they are. Family and friends, your own life, are a place to show that Christ is more valuable than even they are. Matthew 6:33 says this, seek first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom. Because when we seek his kingdom, when we seek Jesus first, that places infinite value onto those people that we love. So the greatest gift I can give Julie is to seek Christ first. And that is the greatest gift I can give to her. The greatest gift I can give to my children is to seek the Lord first. The way we display Jesus in our lives is by treasuring him first and then making life choices that show that our joy is not in things or even in people, but our joy is in Jesus. The same is true in the second half of what Paul wrote in Philippians in chapter 1. It says, I will always want to be brave as I am now, and bring honor to Christ. If I live, it will be for Christ, and if I die, I will gain even more. That's huge, isn't it? How is Christ honored? How do we make him great and display his worth? By our death. Well, Paul gives the answer in his next verse. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Why is death gain? It's gain because in verse 23, it would go on to say, we get to be with him, and nothing could compare with that. We win, and we win, or we win with Christ. When Christ is the center of everything, we win. How do you show that Christ is a treasure in death? Well, by experiencing death as gain, by understanding it's part of our journey to connecting with who Jesus is. But that gain begins in being truly alive in life today. So the question is, church, are you truly alive in Christ today? We need to be living an alive life. Then we see what's coming. Dear friend Peter Martin, that passed away obviously some time ago now, but he had nearly died so many times that he understood to die was gain. He inspired me in death. That was perhaps his greatest gift as a friend, because he knew he'd never, I'm sure he had moments of what now, what next, how this will this work, what will it look like? because how could you not do? But his faith in the Lord was just there. If ever that were ever, don't let me know, don't tell me, because I need to think that's how he was, all right? Because every time I talked to him, that's where he was. Wow. Man of God, because Jesus was his treasure. And Peter was a man like any one of us that I could name this morning that battled things and wrestled with things, that fell over things and struggled with things. But at the end of the day, Jesus. How many names could I mention this morning like that? How many people that we've lost that died in Christ for gain? There are people. Life and death are given to us as a means of displaying the greatness and value of Christ. The supreme value of Christ is displayed when you treasure him above all things and all other people. When I said we weren't good enough for this and I couldn't do this, remember in 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says this, "My grace is all you need, because my power is perfected in weakness." Your very weakness, your very inability to be all of these wonderful things I've been talking about is God's opportunity. So if you are that person sat in the room saying, "I am not good enough, I can't, I won't, I'll let down," just embrace the truth that your very weakness is God's opportunity. Because if you're surrounded by what you believe to be strong Christian people, the truth is, they're just strong in your opinion. You don't know what's going off internally. Only God knows. God looks on the inside. God knows what's happening. And maybe they've simply found a place where he's gracious and strong and made perfect in those people's weaknesses. Don't get into the judgment game of them or particularly yourself. I believe with everything I am that when God raises up a generation of alive, living people like this one, the completion of the Great Commission will begin. It can begin. And begin to live those alive lives. I'm not up for dying one day and saying I wasted my life. I want an alive life today. Is that all right? But it will take a hope-filled passion that places Jesus first. And there are so many things I want to do before Jesus. Alive living is just about doing more. It's not just about doing more or having more ability than others. You know you're alive if your life is causing others to be more fruitful. You want to know what a definition of being alive is? Want to know what gift is in the Lord? If you want to know what serving the Lord is, what fruit do other people produce around you and behind you? Causing others to feel more alive is about creating a culture of life where people can become fruitful because you're part of their life. So what fruit do you produce? Fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. They're gifts of the Holy Spirit. They're fruit of the Holy Spirit. We're dependent upon God for those things. Our very weakness means those things can flourish within us because God's perfection within us. When the gifts become greater than the character, the culture we create will become toxic and the fruit will wither and die. So you see, if you are, I don't know what to pick on here. Who shall I pick on, Joel? What topic? If you are the best coffee maker in this church, you make the best coffee, and that is everything to you, and you know you make the best coffee, and you're proud of your best coffee, and everybody loves drinking your best coffee, okay, you're the best barista this church has. Here's the thing. If that's more important to you than Jesus, then what you create will become toxic. The people around you will be damaged. The things that you do will be of less worth. That's true then if you're doing kids' work or youth work, if you're a musician, you know, if you're a speaker, if you're on the sound desk, if you're on the welcome team, if you're simply being here talking to other people. Church, character in Christ is more important than a practical physical gift. Every time. The selfie image may be impressive, but the real person is seeing the trail that they leave behind. A leader may get things done, but real change and growth depends upon the culture and the health of the fruit. That is 100% character, not gift. There are no excuses to be found in what lays behind us. It shows who we are. The most important thing in his kingdom is not your abilities or skills, not your gift or talent, but the person, the makeup of the character, the least noticed and often undervalued, the who you are in Christ. Because people look on the outside and see the shiny things, but God looks on the inside. He knows you. He knows you need your mind renewing. He knows we need to be new creations. He knows we need filling with his Holy Spirit to be equipped to change and release the person we are called to be, ambassadors of Christ, representatives of the character and person of Jesus. Can the band come back up, please, if you would? Jesus knows we need filling with his Spirit, because even we talk about needing the Holy Spirit because we want to express and move in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit require that we are filled with the Holy Spirit in order to be fruitful, to create culture, to grow, to create an healthy environment for those people around us, to bless, to serve with a heart and a character that looks like Christ. And we are called to be ambassadors for Christ today. And why did I say this is important? Because so much is happening in our world, so much is happening in our town today. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says this: God has given us the task of telling everyone what he is doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We're speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. He's already a friend with you. See, our church is going, I believe, into a new season. We are going into a new season where our character in Christ, the fruit that we bear for Christ, is going to be more important than any other time. Because out of that fruitfulness, out of that character, the gifts can grow. The gifts can thrive. And we need to walk well and walk wisely now before the Lord. You know, we're involved with this festival. Many of you will have seen the Chronicle newspaper. Many of you will have driven past the, and I'm just using this as an example of many areas. Many of you will have driven past the Chronicle office that's our statement written across the front of it: Church steps in to save gay pride. Well, actually, that's not technically accurate. Jesus stepped in to save people. And we've stepped in to save people, to build a relationship and a connection with people that are lost. That's all we've done. That's what I told the Chronicle. They didn't quite spin it that way. I didn't think they would. But here's the deal. A huge event is going to take place. Upwards, they reckon, of 1,000 people working through that street. Not all at the same time, Neil. Relax. Upwards of 1,000 people, they anticipate at least 1,000 turnover people on the 3rd of September along Wortley Street. Okay? It will be happening. And we've got a great opportunity to carry the character of Christ into that situation and to touch those lives. So whatever anybody says to you, and when you're at work, you carry the character of Christ. Don't be judgmental, don't condemn, but carry the love of Christ. In your situations, in your settings, with family, with friends, with neighbours, carry the character of Christ. Because we are called to be his ambassadors. And if I'm called to be his ambassador, I don't just want the outward appearance. I don't just want an ambassador's cloak. You know, that could be a guitar. Could be a sound system. It could be a building. They're nice trappings to have. I want the heart of the ambassador. Because the ambassador has to carry the words and responses and wisdom and values and voice of their master. So we need to be ambassadors of Christ. Church, this morning you may feel inadequate. You may feel you've failed to do that. You may feel you're struggling. Maybe this morning you're not even a Christian. You've never given your life to the Lord. I want to tell you, you don't have to be anything or prove anything to surrender to Jesus. He has such purpose and such plans for you. We're going to worship in a moment. And what I want you to do is to consider all of those things that you treasure in life, all of those things that matter, all of those things that you work hard towards, all those things that you strive for that are important to you. And as we worship, I just want you to consider, should I surrender them to God? Are they bigger than Jesus is in my life? Do I strive for them more than I strive for the heart of Jesus? If the answer is yes, then just come before the Lord as you worship and ask him to touch your life. If the answer is you don't know, then the answer is actually yes. Ask him just to touch your life, because it brings infinite value, actually, to those things that you do dream of and want to do and want to be when they're submitted to Jesus. And if you feel inadequate this morning and feel, I am too weak, well, just know that He's perfection. Things are perfected in our weakness through Christ. And so know that you are good enough for Him. Know that you are loved enough for Him. So we're going to worship. I just want to say to you, would you consider all that you are? Band, I want to challenge you, band, as you're worshipping. Is your gift and what you have and what you bring and what you play more important than Jesus? Because you're about to lead these people and bring us to a place that is holy. So I consider it's got to be about Christ first. When you're serving teas and coffees, when you're on stewarding duty, is it Christ that people see? Let's make this about Jesus. Let's make this about bringing hope into a lost world. If we don't get the balance of that right, we will become competitive and we will divide, because we'll decide who does things better or worse, or the motivations. When our motivation is Jesus, that will unite us and protect us, and it will allow freedom and an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I believe, like we've never seen before. Because if we're going to see this town saved, if we're going to absorb the lost and see them come to life, alive lives, it is going to be hard work and joyous fun and wonderful, and it will need a presence of the Holy Spirit. If we're going to touch this town, we need Him, and we need to be united in Christ. So let's worship. Let's consider where you are. Let's consider our unity. Maybe you want to go to somebody and just hug them. Go to somebody and say, I love you. Go to somebody and say, would you forgive me? Go to somebody and say, wow, we're in this together. Whatever it may be. Maybe you just want to come and stand at the front and worship. Maybe you want to stand where you are and worship. But do business with the Lord this morning. Ask for the Holy Spirit to touch, change your life, to reorganize you, to renew your mind so that you can be fruitful for Him. Amen. Let's worship God.